Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, July 29th, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 301. There's no guest. It's just me in a hotel room in Seneca Falls, New York. I'm in a Hampton Inn. Pretty nice hotel. I think they have me on the first floor in a handicapped hotel. I can tell because when I went into the bathroom, they don't have it. It's like the shower is just kind of like a senior citizen shower, where they have two shower heads, like one that you can pull off and wash yourself, and one that's a little higher up. And they have like the wooden seat thing that goes down so you can sit on it. That serves as your chair. And then the door has two peepholes, one for that like a average height person can look into and see who's at the door. And then there's one like 12 inches below that. And I was like, oh, that's for somebody that's in a wheelchair or something. I think this hotel is at capacity. So that's why they put me on the first floor. I think this is one of the first times I've been on the first floor in a hotel, but it's fine. I'm not going to complain. But I just noticed, I was like, oh, this is like a handicapped or senior citizens, whatever. I slept well. Last night I did a gig over in Waterloo, New York at the Del Lago Casino, which is, I've said this before in the show, like this, I've never heard of this location until I was up here last year doing it for the first time. And it's right in between Syracuse, New York and Rochester, New York. So the news channels are like Rochester, like they give you the news like around this area, so Rochester is like closest. The gig last night was fun, a lot better than last year because the crowd is closer up to you. When I did it last year, they had, for the comedy shows, they had tables up front. And the room is so huge. I think they seat close to 2,000 people. I think there might have been a couple hundred last night, and they filtered in during my set. I did a half hour, and so I could connect to the people that were sitting in the tables up front, and they had tables, and it made it more like a club, but it's such a huge room and the sound is kind of weird. I think the sound is like mainly for concerts because they have a lot of concerts. They do a lot of music at that place, and it felt a little more like a club, but it's not. But I can tell like they liked me. Okay. But it was fun, and it was on a Saturday, which was cool. Last year they started doing them in on Thursdays, but this is better because that was fun. My trip up here, I talked about it on the Patreon episode last week, but if you listen to me on In the Conversation, I was talking to D Lemon about just bad food and just me having mediocre food. And I was telling him that I was excited about this gig because I was going to do some fat boy reconnaissance and go to this place, Hattie's in Saratoga Springs. And that was a place that I went to 3 years ago. And I was doing a gig there. and I was trying to find something to eat, and with the sound guy or the manager of the club was just like, oh, you should go to Hattie's, their fried chicken is great. I was like, oh, word, is this what, just because I'm black, I like chicken? But I went there and it was really good and I enjoyed myself, and I was like, oh, I gotta come back. And every time a comic would be like, oh, I'm at Comedy Works in Saratoga Springs, I was like, go to Hattie's, check out Hattie's. And a couple of them did, and they liked it. So this was my chance. And I don't know, Saturday was just, yesterday was a pretty long day for me. It was so hard for me. The ride up here is about 4.5 hours. So yesterday I knew, so Friday I knew that I needed an oil change. So after work, I stopped by the place, the Valvoline's shop, where I get my oil changed at. And it was, the line was wrapped around the building, and the building's very small. So I was like, I got to do this tomorrow morning. And I get up, they open at 8, and I get there a little after 8. And it was packed again. And but I was able to pull up, and I waited for about 45 minutes. And it took overall like a hour and a half. I didn't leave out of there till like 9:30-ish, 9:45. And then they told, every time you get your oil change, they try to tell you something that's wrong with your car. And the guy was like, oh, you have a small engine leak and you need to get something. I was like, how much is it? How much is this, Joe Young? And he was like, it was $139. And I was like, I think it ended up being $128 or something, because I had a coupon. And I was like, fuck it, just go ahead and do it. And so I got that done. And made my way up. I like to leave a lot earlier. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Hattie's. It's 2 hours away. And then it's another 3 going, like getting over to where I'm at now. And I was like, okay. So I make it 2 hours, two hours and change to get up to Saratoga Springs, get to Hattie's, and that shit is closed for a private brunch. So they have from 9 to 2, they have brunch, and then they open back up at 5, and then they start serving dinner. And I was like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? And I probably should have called. I should have called them the night before. I should have called that day. My trip would have been much better. There's always just like a little thorn. Like, the overall, the weekend was fun and everything, but it's just like, ah, really? And then get to go to a place that I was excited to go to. And, so I was like, all right, I got to eat something. I got to get something here. And so I went, I was looking around, and I saw this place. And I'm not going to shit on the place, but, and not give you the name. But if you're ever in Saratoga Springs and you message me or you hit me up and you say, what about this place? And I'll be like, no, don't go there. I went to this place. I was like, oh, this looks cool. This looks like a nice place to get some brunch. And it was 1 o'clock. It was a little after 1 o'clock. And I see this place, I look it up. I was like, look at their menu. I was like, oh, this looks like it's pretty good. They got chicken and waffles. I'll try it. And it's like this froofy place that's in a hotel. So already I kind of should have known the signs that I was probably about to get got. And I was like, okay, let me get, and it's okay. So I go up and say, oh, is this the place, the entrance to go into the restaurant? And he's like, actually, we don't have brunch. You have to, the place next door has it. And it was like a white kid. And Saratoga Springs is where they do like horse races and all this stuff and all that. And it's like a super wealthy area in this region. And the last time I was up there was 2015. And it was off season, and it was still nice, but I couldn't really take in how beautiful the city, the little town was, because it was during, I was there, it was off season, and I was there in the wintertime, and it was at night. So I didn't really get to take it all in. When you're a comic that does, you're doing stuff on the road, you don't really get to take stuff in unless you get there earlier. But anyway, so I'm getting, oh, is this the place? They said, oh, yeah, well, they stopped serving brunch. I said, I thought they, and I looked at the thing. I said, they stopped, brunch is over at 2. It's 10 after 1. And then another young lady was like, oh, come ahead. I said, can I eat here? And they're like, yeah, it's like they were trying to be all froofy and everything. And I am a big black guy. I'm a black dude. And there's not that many black people up here. And again, like I always tell you, small town America, some of this stuff is really pretty. It's really nice. But I don't know. You just never know how many black people be up here. And that's always something that's in the back of my head. Not just any person of color, but just being black in America, you know how shit is. And I go in there, and it's nice. You're not sitting outside, but you're sitting in like a, it almost looks like a day room where, you know, you got the you can see the sun out of the, that's the only way I know how to describe it. It's like a sunroom, a day room. The sun's kind of shining in on you. They got like a little band playing music and shit, like a three-piece band. And I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be expensive. But the like $23 for like chicken and waffles. I was like, okay, I'm on the road. I want to try something new. And then the guy is a French dude, and he's like, oh, this is like a French take on it. And I was like, okay. And it came with like a fried pickle, and I get it, and I taste it, and it's just like mediocre as fuck. The chicken is not good. The waffle's actually good. The fried pickles are not good. They gave me these potatoes, like these things called hipster fries, which is like seasoned French fries with peppers and little bacon pieces in it. It was okay. But the waffle, the actual waffle itself was probably the best thing that was there. And it just ended up, like, it was like, I just got. I paid too much. Like, the fries were a la carte. And I was so disappointed in what I got. It was just, I should have just went to McDonald's or fucking Sheetz in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Like, I should have just did that. And I was just disappointed that I didn't get to go to Hattie's. And I'm not going today, like, because it's 3 hours. You got to drive 3 hours east. And then you go, like, 2 hours down. So that just adds on so much time to the trip. But I'm going to be in Schenectady next month, so I'm just going to make an effort to go. I'll go up and then go back down to Schenectady like next month and figure that shit out. But I was so disappointed, and I texted the homie D Lemon, and I was like, man, I shot him. I don't know if this picture is good enough to post on the episode cover, because the sun was in the way. And it looked nice, like the food looked nice, the presentation, but for what they charged, like, and then I had to tip the guy. I had to tip him. It was like, I'm really embarrassed to say how much I paid, but I paid 39, that, so you like some little chicken breast with a radish on it and like some weak ass garnish. That was $26. The hipster fries were $10. I got a cranberry juice. So that was like $39. $39. And I had to tip the guy. I had tipped him 20%. So I ended up paying $47 for chicken and waffles and some weird ass French fries. And I'm embarrassed, guys. I'm embarrassed. And, you know, sometimes things happen. I hope that I learn and grow from this experience. And I'm just here to tell you that, you know, when you're in doubt, just maybe go to a bar. I should have just went to a bar. I could have just got like a Philly steak and cheese at some bar that was right next door to Hattie's. But I was like, no. I got to do it up. I'm in Saratoga Springs, and I got to stunt a little bit. I wasn't even trying to stunt. I was just kind of like, I want... I could have just went somewhere else. Like, and then on my way out, the thing that made me even sicker was like, I should have just went to like McDonald's. Like, I just, like, there was a McDonald's. There was a Pizza Hut, like a sit down standalone Pizza Hut. that you barely see anymore. I could have just went somewhere else and got a sandwich and it would have been all right. But after the show, they let you get to eat in the buffet at the casino. Probably some of the best cafeteria, like buffet style food that I've ever had. Last year, I don't remember it being good, but it was something about this. Cause like they had like, I got a salad. I got like a little couple shrimp, like roast beef cuts, you know, like the butcher will cut you a couple slices, some chicken. It was good. It was really good. I had string beans, greens. The greens were better. Like the, I think they were like mixed greens or like collard greens or something. That was good. So that meal was official. And then I tried some pizza. I got, whatever. They had just little slivers. Okay. I'm going back to the gym tomorrow. But that shit was fire. That shit was like really good. It doesn't take like, okay. So I had like chicken thighs and like, it's like the chicken at this place tastes like at the casino tastes like, good. It just reminded me of grocery store chicken, grocery store fried chicken. That's good. Like Jewel Osco, if you're from the Midwest, maybe Chicago specifically, Chicagoland area, like if like a Jewel Osco has good fried chicken. Stop and Shop has good fried chicken. Yeah, kind of like that, you know? And it was seasoned well. They didn't even season this chicken. Like this chicken at this place that I went to, it's like they put some kind of fruity sauce on it. And it was like, just because it's chicken and waffles it doesn't mean that you don't have to season the chicken. And it doesn't really take. I'm not a food snob or anything, but I know I just hate paying a lot of money for food that's not good or it's just mediocre. If I would have paid that same amount somewhere else and the food was good, I'd have been like, it was pricey, but it was good. Like, you just have to know that you're going to spend a lot of money. But man, I was disappointed in that. I was sick. My God, $50. I could have paid a bill with that. Man. So yeah, the food was good, at the casino. Like it was official. It was on point. Like, oh man, like what else they had? Like I told you about the shrimp was good. I just kind of wish like my mom and dad were here. Like my mom, she doesn't really like to eat out like that, but my dad would have loved those shrimp. I gotta tell him about that. Salad bar, desserts. I didn't get dessert. I'm not really a big dessert guy. I fill up on the regular food or whatever. Salad was good. Everything like that shit was, it was good. It's popping. So I hope I come back. If I come back here again next year, I think I'm just going to go cause I'm going to go visit the Finger Lakes. This is the Finger Lakes area. They have, it's a region of New York State. It's named for its series of long, thin lakes known for its vineyards on Cayuga Lake. The city of Ithaca is home to Cornell University and its Johnson Museum of Art, showing ancient and modern art in an IMP design building. The surrounding area is marked by high gorges, many with dramatic waterfalls, including Toffahonic Falls and Buttermilk Falls. Watkins Glen State Park, where they do, they have PGA events up here, and they have NASCAR up here. Like, you're right, we're here at Watkins Glen and blah, blah, blah. So that's like all that stuff up here. I should have just hung out here, just like went downtown and walked around or something. But if I'm able to come up here next year, I'll do that. And after the show, after I ate, I went to, I went to the movies to see Mission Impossible 6, Fallout, Mission Impossible Fallout. I didn't realize this because I wasn't on the internet yesterday, that MoviePass has been blocking people from seeing Mission Impossible Fallout. Because I went to a 10:10 screening. And I was like, okay, let me pull up my MoviePass. And I was like, what the fuck? This, like, this doesn't support, like, this is like, MoviePass doesn't support this prime time viewing. I'm like, at 10 p.m. is prime time? And then I didn't find out until I got back to the hotel that they blocked it. The homie Rod posted the a link to it. It's the beginning of the end. I knew they couldn't, there was something they had to get $5 million to pay for. Pay for their bills on Thursday, and there was drama there, and it was a big shit show. People were upset, and like, I think it is the beginning of the end, like a lot of people are saying. And it's unfortunate, but like when Arturo Zurita was on, he was saying how, like, you know, they keep changing stuff, so it's probably gonna end. This shit is like too good to be true. Because even if it was more money a month, it would still be worth it. Like, for somebody like me, it would be. So I think now I'm just going to have to take less chances at the art house films that I see, unless I just really want to see something. It's never really stopped me, but you know that you can, your options, you have more options when you have something like MoviePass and they play it a lot. You can use it at these smaller theaters that play, you know, the non-mainstream movies. So we'll see. Because I know, like, the theaters don't like it. Because my favorite movie theater, Jacob Burns, that I was surprised that they took MoviePass. They're like, oh, how long have you been coming here? Like I've been coming here for 3 years. I just have MoviePass now. I was here before MoviePass, you know? Like I'm a, like, fucking mouth breather, you know? Like, oh, I just want to get a free fucking, you know, I've paid, you know, their tickets aren't that much. They're like $13. But yeah, it's disappointing and it's unfortunate. And then though, but the thing about this place, I was at this theater, what is it called, like the Geneva 8, and it's in Geneva, New York, and it was like in a strip mall and a primetime showing, late night showing, $8.50. small town America. Nice projection, was like Sony 4K projection. The seats were good. It was like a stadium standard hybrid thing where the seats were not new, but they were they reclined a little bit. And I think they have a couple theaters where they do have recliners in there. But it was a nice theater. It was nice and clean. Much cleaner than the shitty theaters at in Times Square. Oh my God. Mission Impossible Fallout. I fell asleep. I shouldn't have. I had, in the words of the Hot Firestarter crew, I had countless sleeps. I don't even remember how many sleeps I had. It's not because the movie was bad. The biggest action movie of the year, and I couldn't stay awake, but I had a long day. I was up at like 6 or something like that. But I did get to see a lot of that. The action sequences that they showed, like the first one, I kind of dozed off and I was like, oh shit, I'm probably going to have to go back and watch it. And I will, because I have AMC, I'm an AMC A-lister. So I will probably make that happen and just, you know, just see it again. But Tom Cruise is, he's the GOAT, you know, he's the man. We can do movies and then kind of jump around. Well, no, let's do this. Well, since I mentioned, I saw Skyscraper, I was trying to kill time in between an audition and going to do shows. So it just kind of hit perfectly. And I was going to see Skyscraper, but a lot of people just kind of shit on it. But I was like, you know, The Rock, Neve Campbell's in it. Come on. What are you going to do? Like, you really going to keep me from watching Neve Campbell? So this movie, I'll read you the Google blurb that I have trouble reading usually. Okay. Will Sawyer is a former FBI agent and U.S. war veteran who now assesses security for skyscrapers. While he's on assignment in China, the world's tallest and safest building catches on fire, and he gets framed for it. Now, a wanted man on the run, he must find those responsible, clear his name, and somehow rescue his family members when they become trapped inside the inferno. Everybody's making Die Hard references to it. I can see that. But I haven't seen Die Hard in ages, so, you know, I'm not the right person to. But yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. This movie was like, you know, it was all right. One of the interesting things about this movie was it reminded me of Barack Obama's presidency. It reminded me of like the events, the political events that happened recently within the last 3 to 5 years. So it's sort of like you have a biracial president, mainly black, and he's like trying to make strides and secure the country. If you look at the skyscraper as a metaphor for the country, for America, it's like Barack Obama is the rock, and he's trying to make sure everything is secure. He's trying to do the right thing. And then these outside entities try to screw it up. And then his wife is like a military doctor, and she tries to come in and save it. And that's like, his wife is kind of like Hillary, not to say like, you know, but the metaphor, like she's like Hillary, and she tries to like fix it, and she fixes it in the end. I don't know, that I didn't think that all the way through. Well, maybe I'll edit this out, but it's, for some reason, it just kind of reminded me of that, like all these evil entities, and then a woman at the end cleans it up. But in this, that's how it should have been. That's what I wanted to say. That's how it should have been. But we didn't get that, you know? So in the end, like, I'm spoiling Skyscraper, whatever. In the end, a woman does save the day after, you know, the efforts of the biracial angel. So I don't know. If you look at if you go see Skyscraper, think about that. Think about it. Think about that, guys. It was okay, but like that, I was in Midtown, and oh God, like they charge people $16 to go to that theater, and it's so bad. It's not a good movie theater. You got to think that they would, remodel or renovate, but I guess they don't, I don't know that they don't care, but they're like, fuck it, we don't have to. If you want to come see this movie, you gotta sit in this shit. I'm not a fan of it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have to, if I wasn't trying to kill time. I did regret that I paid so much money. I spent $60 in parking in 2 days in New York City. But it's just because I'm an artist and I have to do what I have to do. It's just one of those things. You don't want to get your, I'd rather pay $30 for parking than have my shit towed and have to pay like a couple hundred. I think, what is it, $250 to get it out of the impound? I don't know. I don't want to ever have to know that shit. But that's the cost of living. So it's fucking expensive. Overall, though, this week was really, really fucking cool because I did the TPS reports at work did a bunch of cool shows. I was thinking it was like Tuesday morning. Phoebe Robinson hit me up and she's like, hey, you want to do my show at Union Hall 10:30? I was like, yeah. So I did. She has a show called Phoebe Robinson and Friends. And it's basically like a showcase of her, you know, friends, her favorite comics or whatever. And if you know Phoebe Robinson from Two Dope Queens and Ibiza from Netflix. I was like, okay. I said, so immediately after I got that text, I was like, she was like, yeah, you want to do my show, Union Hall, Brooklyn? And then she was like, paid. It's a paid gig. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And, so I had to process what my day was going to be like. So I was like, okay, I had some plans. I'll throw those plans out and I'm going to go home after work and take a fucking nap. I took a power nap. Woke up, drove down to Union Hall, and The show was fun. Like they gave me this the time, and I think I was going on second to last or whatever. And then when I get there, one of the comics had gotten sick or something, and so I was gonna close it out. So it got switched to me closing it out. And I've been working on like a chunk of about like 10 or 15 minutes for the last month or so. And just like when I'm running it, like if I'm doing like a short set, I guess it would be like 10 or 15 minutes. I'm working on that particular chunk. And Brooklyn it's like Union Hall is probably one of my favorite venues just aesthetically, because it's in a basement and it's closed. It's like a low ceiling and there's people, like when it's sold out, this was a sold out show. She had two sold out shows. And it's when it's packed, it's just so great. It's just so fun. And everybody's like kind of packed in there. And some of the stuff that I was talking about, I was just like, and it's not really the stuff that I was talking about. I did it in at the Borgata, which they have restrictions on what you're supposed to talk about. So it's not anything that's like super edgy, like I'm being edgy and I'm pushing the envelope. It's just like I'm talking about what I'm talking about. And they got tight. And I was like, come on, man, like y'all can't get tight. This is the late show. It's by the time I was on stage, it was after 12 o'clock. It was after midnight. I was like, come on, y'all. And I just kind of goaded them. I just got on them. I had a fun set. It was fucking awesome. It was a great time. But there were just a couple moments where they tried to get tight on me. I was like, no, you're not going to do this. I'm telling you jokes. I remember like the first time that I performed there. It's on YouTube. It's called like Chris Lambert Geeks Out About Movies, where I did this set that they filmed, and it was me on the show called Geeking Out, and it was hosted by Carrie Doherty, who is a writer. She was a writer on the Goldbergs, and now she's writing on. She's been on the show. She's like on like the first year of the show. She's been on it, and it's like way way back, and she's a writer on the spinoff of that show. I'm not sure what that is, but she's also a host on the IMDb website. And she interviews, like when Mission Impossible premiered this past week, she was interviewing all the stars and stuff. So she's blown up since being on here. And hold on a second. Okay. Yeah. So, I had to return that a text really quick. Yeah, so Carrie's on that show, and she, what the fuck was I talking about? She's on that show, she's interviewing people. Okay, so she had this show called Geeking Out, and I did like maybe 13 minutes about movies. And like at the time, I had some jokes about some movies, and I wove them into a set. And I remember, it's still on YouTube, so if you look at it, you can see me like telling them, you guys gotta come on. Just get on board with this shit. These are jokes. And I told them, I just got on them a little bit, but overall it was fucking fun. Had a great time. It's just like, it was just, I'm out so late, and like maybe like 10 years ago, it would have been fine. But like, now I'm going to be a zombie at work tomorrow. But I wasn't though. And it was fun. And then, yeah. So shout out to Phoebe Robinson. That was a fucking, I had a fucking blast. And it was pretty cool to, you know, hang out. Like I have like my credits and stuff that I've done, but it was cool that the folks who was on that show, Eric Bergstrom, who's had a half hour on Comedy Central. He's been on the Colbert, Hari Kondabalu, who's just had a Netflix special, really funny. Had the Trouble with a Poo joint. He was on the show. Jamie Lee, who's on Crashing, writes for Crashing. A couple other people I don't remember, but it was fun. It was a really good night, and that was dope. And then Wednesday, I did a show called Am I a Terrible Person? Where at the Pit, where you do a set, and you talk about a time where you felt like you might have been a terrible person, and And then at the end, the crowd judges you. So that was cool. And Chelsea White, friend of the podcast, host that. So shout out to her. And it was fun. I hadn't been at the pit in a long time. I hadn't done anything there. And just hung out with some friends after the show. Went to a bar and was just talking all night. It was fun. And Thursday, I did this show at... I did two shows, Lasers in the Jungle and Fresh Out. Probably two of my favorite like weekly shows like that happen in the city. That's just like a, it's kind of like it's like a workout room. You work on your shit and you get a nice crowd that comes there. And, like, both those shows were fun. And I think probably after this Black Guy Who Tips Live, I think I'll post me working that set out. I'll post one of those sets from the last week on the Patreon so you can just kind of hear what it's like when you're just kind of working on a set and you just figure, because that was fun. Like I had done, because I'm working on some stuff about like protesting boycott the NFL and all this stuff, and I feel like it's kind of got legs, so I'm working on that, and I'll most likely give you one of those, the set from probably Fresh Out later on this year after the Black Guy Who Tips, because I'll probably do that at that show. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, you'll hear it if you come to the Black Guy Who Tips Live. Or maybe you won't, but maybe you'll hear something. So come to that show. That's going to be fun. Speaking of black quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, you know, it's a problem when, okay, black, man, he said that he'd never protest during the anthem. It's not the place. And the Roots done a piece on him. And, you know, everybody's excoriating this guy. Everybody's, you know, upset and they're mad at him. And, you know, it's a problem. So this is what he said. Okay, let me just read what he said. Let's see this here. Because I watched the video and I was like, ooh. He says, I never protest, Prescott said, according to Dallas News. I never protest during the anthem, and I don't think that's a time or venue to do so. The game of football has always brought me such peace, and I think it does the same for a lot of people. A lot of people playing the game, a lot of people watching the game, a lot of people who have any impact of the game. So when you bring such controversy to the stadium, to the field, to the game, it takes away. It takes away from that. It takes away from the joy and the love that football brings a lot of people. To be sure, Prescott said that he respects why other players may be comfortable with kneeling, but that he prefers to take on racial injustice in different ways. Prescott's teammate, running back Ezekiel Elliott, agrees, according to Cowboys reporter Clarence Hill. This is a tweet from Clarence Hill Jr. Zeke on Cowboys anthem policy. Us as a team, we chose to stand together for the anthem. It was our decision. I think it just shows our culture. It shows that we have unity. We're going to stand as one, but we're the Dallas football Cowboys. We stand for the national anthem. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has been clear that the very beginning that he is against players protesting during the national anthem. Donald Trump, a buddy of many NFL owners, has used his platform as president to blast players who kneel during the national anthem, saying that they don't have any real issue to fight about because of the amount of money. All right, you guys fucking get it. First of all, I think this is what I'm going to say. First of all, Dak Prescott is a 25-year-old kid. He's a kid, and kids make mistakes. And you know, it's a problem when the OGs, like, you know, people clowning them and everything on Twitter. I saw it and I was tight. I put out a Facebook post. I said, leave Dak Prescott alone in all caps. And I deleted it. And I saw all the tweets, and I saw one of the OGs, Marsha Warfield. She called him a sellout, and I was like, man, you know, it's a problem when the OGs, you know, get on him, and people was, but he's a kid. He's 25 years old, and maybe he'll get it together. And that's all I'm going to say, because I am writing about this shit, and I'm dealing with it. I'm internalizing everything that people are saying, and then I'll just put it out on stage, because that's what I do. But we did have... We did have a nice black quarterbacks moment. I think it was might have been Thursday or Friday when somebody brought Cam Newton some Bojangles, and it was like a fun little moment. And yeah, that was pretty nice. That was fun. Yeah, I just hope they brought him some chicken, but I hope they gave him some more players, so they can utilize his talents while he still has youth on his side. So we'll see. We'll see. So that's been black quarterback news. And I want to say, I got to kind of cut this episode a little short, because my checkout time is at 11, and I'm recording this is currently like 10:45 in the PM. But I do want to say, I think I covered most of the stuff that I wanted to. Overpriced food that's mediocre. Black quarterback news. Dak Prescott, I'm disappointed in you, buddy. But you're a kid. He's a kid, and he has to learn. He'll learn. But then also, like, the quarterback position. Like, is anybody really protesting? Is anybody really going to protest anymore? Because after the bullshit that the owners did, because they got pissed off. They got pissed off that that Donald Trump was talking about the owners and everything. And then that's when they decided to kneel. And that's when it was sort of like a moot point. Like, that's when it was over. It's over, like, when white people start saying lit or some shit like that. You know, like when white people start saying getting jiggy with it and off the heezy for sheezy. Like, it's immediately retired. Like some trend or some type of slang, like it immediately gets retired. And I thought the kneeling shit was over anyway, but they just keep bringing it back up. Like, it's like controversy, and it's just a lot of fluff, and it's just like you're beating a dead horse. And nobody protested during the playoffs. Nobody did anything. So it's kind of over with now, you know. So I don't know why they keep bringing that back up. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. That's a douchebag thing to say. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. So, but that's what I felt like. That was like, I don't even remember. It was like in the middle of the season. 'Cause everybody was just like, okay, now it's over. Now nobody's probably gonna kneel anymore. You know? Yeah, he's a kid. That's the refrain. He's a kid. So, I wanted to say, so after I did some show, the Lasers in the Jungle, shout out to Sean Crespo and Matt Little and Carol Hartsdale and Katina Carrero. She wasn't there at the show, but that was fun. So good, so fun. And Ashley Brooke Roberts and Jim Tews, who host Fresh Out, Shanoa Estrada, who's the booker and producer. Really dope night. Really dope. It just made me feel like, just kind of fucking love stand-up. Like, I've just really, like, it just really solidified my love. Like, almost 10 years in, and just, like, this week was just, like, really, really fun. And it's just, like, I hope you guys find what you love to do. And it's just... you want to do it and you want to keep doing it as much as you can. And, it just really made me feel good. It was fun. Then I had to go to work in the morning, but, that Thursday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, those three nights last week were really great. And to top it all off on a Thursday night. So I did those spots, and the homie Mike Brown had told me the night before that this group, called Young Bull, out of Durham, North Carolina, they did, they, and I think I've told you about these guys last year when Mike had played a record, one of their records called Egyptian Joint, when they were doing Comedy Outliers, RIP, on their podcast. And I was like, oh, this is a nice jam. So I looked them up and I was like, yeah, these guys are dope. And I'll read you on their about page. So basically Mike told me Wednesday night that they were going to be at Pianos in the Village, Alpha Bells, that Lower East Side, which was right a 5-minute walk from UCB East. And if you remember, what's that record that Childish Gambino has on Camp? He's like, baby, you're the baddest. Baby, you're the baddest girl. He's like, yes, meet me at Pianos. What's that record? I think it's called LES. I think that's the name of the record. I believe it is. Let me just make sure. So I don't say, you guys didn't get it. Yeah, it's called LES. And he's like, that's what he's talking about. Pianos, that was the club. It's like, it's a bar and they have a back room. They have an upstairs room. I did a show there before. Shout out to the homie JB. He had an album release party there a few years back. JB from Oklahoma City, friend of the podcast. So Mike tells me, he's like, oh, yo, you gotta go. There's no excuse. You gotta go to that show. He's like, I can't go because of my girl's birthday, but you gotta go. And he's like, I think Dylan Stevenson might go. Dylan Stevenson is a comic, New York comic, and he's a writer on Wyatt Cenac's show, Problem Areas. And I reached out to him. I was like, yo, I'm gonna come through. He was there, so I met up with him and we watched the show. Young Bull is they're terrific. They're a band out of Durham, North Carolina. I'll read you the about. Young Bull is compromised of founding members and former JV basketball teammates Tamik Cameron and Gabe Fox Peck, along with the recently added rapper singer Christian St. Clair. Based in Durham, North Carolina, they are rooted in a distinctively Southern sound, fusing trap and old school soul influences into an unmistakably electric aesthetic. With over 200,000 plays on Spotify and a critically acclaimed album, Sopadelic, dropping independently in 2016, Young Bull is making moves in the music world. Backed by some of the funkiest musicians in the country, Young Bull has performed up and down the East Coast and continues to tour, make new music, and play 2K in the basement. One of the things that was legit about these dudes, I think the record's called Miscommunication, and the lead singer, Tamik, was talking about, like, he's got one of the lyrics is like, I'm playing 2K, and I was like, yeah, this shit is real. Like, these guys are legit. So fucking good. And it's amazing how many talented people you can see in New York City. And like, that concert was $8. It was $8. Just got done having fun shows and walked over and just saw like an up and coming band just knock it out of the park. I posted a clip of it up on my Instagram where they were just like in the middle of this record called Chocolate, and they called this dude. They call this dude, I forget his name, up on stage. And so he was just doing some runs on the song. And he was, because Chocolate is basically about a black woman, about like praising black women and how they look good and all they call them, because Rick Records like, Chocolate, she's a queen, just really smooth groove and everything like that. And the guy was doing these runs and he was like talking about black women, Chocolate, da da da. And it was some black women there, and it was also some white women in there. And he had to get the little, he's had to, am I white girl? Something he said that was just really funny, because he had to acknowledge that it was some white women that he could possibly get with after the show. I thought that was smooth. It was funny. But those guys are terrific. If you've not heard of these guys, check out Sopadelic and then Midnight Sun. And you can get them Bandcamp. You can stream it wherever you stream music. Those dudes are just fucking great. And they had like a, they had the, Gabe was on the keys and Tamik was doing the lead vocals. Christian Sinclair was rapping and singing. They had a guy on drums, had a guy on so they had a guy on drums, guy on guitar, and a guy on synths, and they all got to do solos, which was really cool. It was just such a fun night, man, and I got home at a reasonable hour, so I was happy about that. And it was just like, they go on at 10, I was like, yes. So right after my set was done, I hung out at UCB East for a little bit, and then hightailed it on over. Such a fun fucking night. Young Bull, if you don't know, now you know. So I think that's it, guys. I think I'm going to check out of this hotel, and you'll get this episode eventually. But thanks so much for listening. Subscribe to Patreon. I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody. Peace. Talk to you next.